Hello, and welcome to Questlore, a family Lorcana podcast where each week we come to you and we talk as our family always does about Lorcana. So welcome to the podcast. I am Matt.
I'm Malcolm.
I'm Annette.
And I'm Jeff.
And we're going to start this week like we do every week, and we're going to talk about how we played this week. Our normal league day. These guys are heavily involved in a production of Alice in Wonderland Jr. How's that going, guys?
It's going great.
Opening night was a couple days ago, and we're doing good.
Yeah, it's been going amazing. That's why our podcast is a little bit late this week.
And guess what? We have to do a whole day performing with one lunch break.
Dinner break. So we have two performances today. And one more performance tomorrow. So, but our store actually didn't have weekly league play last week because of Mother's Day. Anyway.
Right. Yes.
But we will miss league play tomorrow because we will all have, the three of us will be working on the performance. But Dad will get to go play.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
So,
But Emmett and Dad did get to play a tournament on Thursday. So Emmett, what was that tournament about?
It was. Started that tournament, so it had the Encanto aggro deck.
It's amethyst and amber, but I don't know if that's necessarily. I don't think that was an aggro deck. It's a magical deck.
A magical deck, yeah.
And there was the.
And then what did Dad play?
Dad played the Sapphire Steel Hero deck.
Right.
How did that go?
So it's a weird thing. So the starter decks, I think when you look at the two decks, if you're going to just play outright with those decks, I think the magical deck is probably the one you want to go to. I think that's the stronger of the two decks, the way they are constructed. However, if you have no intention of playing with those decks and you want to take them apart and use them, I think the Sapphire Steel deck has the more useful cards, that goes into other decks because you get the fill deck. If you want to do a Heroes one, the Ana super rare, which gives your other heroes an extra bit of lore. So I think it has the better cards, but the way it's constructed is just the worst deck. Because basically by turn five, at that point, I'm just drawing cards off the top and just playing whatever I draw. Whereas the other deck was able to actually draw some cards and actually try to strategize and play instead of just, here's what I got, I'm gonna put it out there. So
that's my strategy.
I think when I looked at the top four that were playing, they all had the magical decks, so okay. Those were the ones that were winning throughout the night. It was not the Sapphire and Steel deck. So, first time we ever did a starter deck type event. It was okay. I'm not sure I would do that again, but that's what it was offering.
I only won one match, because can I tell you what I was playing in the second match?
Remember, we don't name names that people don't know on the podcast.
Champion of the eighth side.
The guy that won the Stitch champion mat at the eighth side.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was fun. But he beat me 2-0. But then we played another match for fun, and I actually beat him match.
Nice.
And because I was playing the Encanto, the Madrigal deck. Which, not like that, the deck that Dad did.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you were able to at least get one game against him.
You have, three different types of cards you can play. Battle 5, and that's the big Bilbo, the big Bruno, and, Isabella. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, long story short, basically, if you're looking to do a starter deck tournament and you want to win it, I would go with Magical deck. If you are looking for cards that you want to use in other decks, probably the Hero, Sapphire, and Steel one.
Don't do it.
I can go and do it and support your local game stores, but yes. Try to find a draft or a sealed event instead. Mm-hmm. We're going to be going over some cards. If you are doing one of those that you should probably look for, just at the common and uncommon level, maybe I snuck in one rare. But those, the common and uncommon cards, right? You're going to see more of those than you are other ones.
Right,
so.
Because in every for those of you who are new, in every single pack of cards, you are guaranteed to get one common of all six colors. And then from there, you know, I think you're, you know, from there, everything else is going to be at least uncommon or above.
Well, it's going to be three more uncommons.
Oh, three uncommons.
And then
uncommons,
two
right.
rares or above.
Right, two, that's right. So three uncommons and then two rares or above. So that means a rare, ultra rare, or a
legendary.
Or
a, and then there's one hollow.
And then one hollow,
which could be anything. Including an enchanted
pet. And actually, before we started this podcast,
like 5 minutes before recording this, Mom just pulled an enchanted
Goofy. So that was really nice.
Awesome.
Power.
Yeah, we are in the middle of opening packs still from Ursula's return. If you're watching us on YouTube, you can see two more sealed boxes of cards. We've got the Lumineer's Quest over there that we still yet to crack open. Hopefully, we'll be able to get that next week. Boys are doing a wonderful job in their show. I have seen it. It's amazing. And it definitely shows all the hard work that went into it. Then they will return to playing World Arcana. Mm-hmm. But we've got more to open. Hopefully, we'll find some more enchanted. Hopefully, we'll get all the cards we need before Mom and Dad head off to Chicago for the Disney Lorcana Challenge. But before even that happens, Atlanta is in a week.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So that's coming up fast for those in Atlanta. Now, there was a little bit of news that came out for that. So they did announce basically the different prize levels. And we'll probably go into this more next week when we get some more clarification on things. But there'll be different prize levels. For those that are doing the side events, you'll be earning tickets for a prize wall. On the prize wall, you'll have like non-foil versions of the special alternate art cards that you can win there. So like that Cinderella and that Rapunzel, you can actually just win the non-foil versions of those cards from the prize wall. So those might be pretty rare and fun to get as well. They released a whole bunch of stuff regarding, you know, where they're going to make cuts for people. And they did say, they haven't shown it yet, but they did basically, they did announce that, yeah, that last card that everyone's going to get, that the winners, like the top eight or top four get, will be a Brave Little Taylor Mickley that's serialized. So you'll have a one-of-a-kind, unique Brave Little Taylor card, which is cool. And the winner actually gets a full foil set of the current set that's out. So the winner of Atlanta will get a full foil set of set three, so Into the Inklands, including all the Enchanteds. The winner of Chicago gets a full foil set of Ursula's Return, including all of those Enchanteds.
Wow.
So that's a pretty hefty prize. Plus a trophy, the cards, everything like that. So really cool prizes.
I mean, cash value, that's like got to be $1,000.
Oh, at least.
If not more.
At least. I think, I mean, if we're looking at, I think right now, like if you're looking at this set, I think the Ariel is going for $400 this week. It's hard to judge right now because
it's so new.
It's so new, so people don't know. But people have been selling it for like $400 for like the Enchanted Ariels.
Right.
Wait, does Enchanted Ariel?
Yep.
Yeah. Like the Bloodborne one?
Yes. Mm-hmm. That one specifically. Yeah. I'll probably break that down more next week so we can take a look at things. We'll see how things are shaping up for Atlanta. But let's hop into our main topic, which is more about Ursula's return.
Ursula has returned.
That's right. She certainly has, son.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Is there an enchanted of the Sorcerer Mickey?
No.
That's what Dad wants.
No, there is not.
We got the hat. We got Enid. But no Sorcerer Mickey.
Yeah, no.
Wait, is there an enchanted Enid?
Yeah.
Didn't we just, like... Yes. Yeah.
Yes, and there's an enchanted Enid, but they did not make an enchanted of the Sorcerer Mickey.
We need it.
I mean, they've used up the card. Like, it's named Mickey Mouse, like Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Yes.
Like, the card's used up. So unless they're going to make, like, a set championship with that card as a special one, it's like, it's used up. It ain't coming back. I mean, Brave Little Taylor wasn't an enchanted card. And that became, like, the set championship for this Disney Lorcana
Challenge.
So maybe. So, who knows? Possibly. We will see. But let's dig into some of these cards. So, if you are going to one of the events, either this weekend or next weekend, that's usually when they're held, or these first ones. There are some stores that will just do draft all the time. And a lot of stores are going to do what's called more of a chaos-type draft, where you take one pack from each set. So, now that we've had four sets, you may go to a draft that has set one, set two, set three, and set four. You get one pack of each. And so that any card in the game is possibly being played. We're going to focus on Ursula's Return. These are some of the common and uncommons that you can find. Again, these are the cards you're going to see the most of, are the commons and uncommons. So there's a good chance you're going to see these during them. So let's hop right in and talk about each one. We're going to start over in Amber.
We've got
Cogsworth.
We just opened a couple of these today.
Yeah.
He's cool. 4-cost inkable, strength 3, willpower 3, quest for 1, special ability as you were. Whenever this character quests, you may give chosen character -2 strength until the start of your next turn. So kind of a budget Kida effect there. Mm-hmm. He plays a little late, so you have to wait to quest with him, but then, you know, you can lower someone's strength and then attack them.
Yeah. But then again, if you've got Pluto's out, you got a lantern, you could play this earlier.
Again, we're talking about for a draft.
Sure,
right?
For a draft, you want. But it's nice because if you are playing the budget Maui Hercules,
then maybe that guy doesn't kill you.
He doesn't kill you in one turn, right?
So, or it lowers some big butted card enough so that you can attack into it without having to trade your entire board in.
Right.
I also love this card.
It's a cool card. It's Cogsworth leading an army of knives and spoons.
With his huge
against
hat.
Ursula.
I love it.
Oh, I thought it was...
Up next is Daisy Duck, 4-cost inkable. Daisy Duck, musketeer spy. It's a 2 strength, 3 willpower, quest for 1, special ability, infiltration. When you play this character, each opponent chooses and discards a card. So denying your opponent resources, it does it right when you play it. Mm-hmm. It's a good card.
Yep.
Next, Julieta Madrigal, excellent cook. She's a 3-cost inkable, strength 1, willpower 4, quest for 1, but it's the special ability, signature recipe. When you play this character, you move up to 2 damage from chosen character. If you remove damage this way, you may draw a card. So
kind of like a cheaper Rapunzel.
Exactly. It is a cheaper Rapunzel. There are plenty of cards.
And a more common Rapunzel.
Yep.
Yes.
There are plenty of cards in this set that when you play them have damage right on them, so you can play them, play her, draw a card. Card draw is a super important part of this game, so definitely something to watch for.
Mm-hmm.
Up next is Mickey Mouse. It's a 4-cost inkable, strength 2, willpower 5, has support, quests for 1. Special ability is Strike Up the Music. When you play this character, a chosen character gains support this turn. So it's a way of buffing. If you have like 3 characters on board, you play him, you give another person support, you quest with that person, then you buff up the 3rd character so he can run in to another person that the opponent might not have thought could have been taken out this turn.
Or even with the few locations that we have, it's a way to buff somebody up to get rid of a location much easier because, before, I don't think that's a way that people have been using support so far, and I feel like that's something that's going to happen more often now that we have these kind of cards that can double the support to take out those locations. I haven't seen that a lot in games. I think that's coming.
Yeah, I'll tell you, during the starter deck tournament, there was a lot of cards that had support that are in those decks, mm-hmm. and it was pretty late, and it was hard to do all the math with the support to see, are my cards safe or not because of support?
Sure.
All right, moving on to Amethyst. It's Camilo Madrigal. I will tell you, so there are a lot of magical cards in this right draft deck thing that I'm showing. So you can see why the magical deck works better than the CFRC deck, because there are a lot of cards here that work for it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 4-cost inkable. It's Camilo Madrigal, prankster. It's a strength of 2, willpower of 5, quest for 1, special ability is many forms. At the start of your turn, you may choose one. You can either have it get +1 lore this turn, or it gets challenger +2. So either you've got someone that can, if the board is the right way, right, you got someone you can give a 4-strength card to that you can use to take out someone else. Or if you're safe, you can give him an extra lore and he's questioned for 2. So pretty solid card.
Mm-hmm. I love how it says that he's even turning into Divorce or Bruno on the card.
Mm-hmm.
There's also another one right behind Bruno, but I think I need a closer look at the card.
Sure.
Tony.
Let's look at our next one.
Dolores
Madrigal, easy listener. Cost of 4 is an inkable, strength 3, willpower 3, quest for 2, special ability, magical informant. When you play this character, if an opponent has an exerted character in play, you may draw a card. During draft, most likely your opponent's going to have characters exerted, either because they just challenged you or because they quested. So playing this right away and drawing a card instantly replaces itself. It's a good thing to grab. Up next, Flotsam and Jetsam. So we'll start with Flotsam, Ursula's baby. It's a 3-cost uninkable, strength of 4, willpower 2, Quest for one, two abilities, Quick Escape. When this character is banished in a challenge, return the card to your hand. And then Ominous Pair, your character name, Jetsam, gains. When this character is challenged in a challenge, return this card to your hand. And then over on the Jetsam side, Ursula's Baby again. It's a three-cost Inkable, Strength of two, Willpower four, gets Challenger plus two, and then has the ability Ominous Pair. Your character's name, Flotsam, gain Challenger plus two. So making the Flotsam better, the Flotsam makes the Jetsam better. And that being able to return the card to your hand so that you can play him again instead of having it gone forever when you're doing graft is really nice, because if you've got the inkable one coming back to your hand, that's a resource you can turn to ink. Mm-hmm. With the uninkable one, then that's just another character you can play and not have to worry about drawing cards.
Yeah, and the thing too here is, right, is they obviously they play off of each other. You know, and I would say because the Jetsam is the common one, if you see the Flotsam first, like, grab it, because you're going to be less likely to see him, mm-hmm. even though he's uninkable. And I know a lot of times in a draft, your instinct is to leave behind those uninkables. But this is one where I feel like, you know, it's cheap enough and it's powerful enough, especially if you can get him out there with Jetsam, that if you do see one or two of these Flotsams, go ahead and grab them, because there's a good chance you'll see at least one or two Jetsams.
Yeah.
I really like this card because if you read Jetsam's text, it says he snatched the trident from the betrayed Grimmer. So he's like stealing the trident from the trident card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these two cards also connect art-wise. Like, you put them right next to each other, you can see that the backgrounds kind of are connecting. And then Flotsam's
text now is, the crown and the trident are mine.
So the crown's a little bit new,
yeah.
In kind of our story. We've seen it in a couple of other things as well, in a couple of other cards. So that could be part of the continuing story of Lorcana. We haven't been able to play the Lumineer's Quest, so we'll see what happens with that and then start kind of speculating about what else is coming up next. Up next, it's Luisa. Luisa Madrigal, magically strong one. Cost of four is uninkable. Strength four, willpower three. And has Rush, Quest for one. So, character with Rush, great to have in a draft because your opponent's not going to see it coming necessarily. Drop him down, run right into someone. So, can be very useful in a draft. Let's move along over to Emma. Yep, it's Jacques.
Jack.
Connoisseur of Climbing. It's a three-cost inkable, strength of one, willpower four, Quest for two, has the ability Sneaky Idea. When you play this character, chosen opposing character gains Reckless during their next turn. They can't quest and must challenge if able. So basically you can give someone Reckless to make them, if you got someone that they're not challenging with, say it's like Phil, who gets lore whenever heroes played, or Lumiere, who gives all their characters plus one strength, give them Reckless, and then they have to run into your characters if they're not tapping them.
Or like if you have somebody who has like quests for three lore. Request, you know, somebody who's questing for three lore, now they can't quest.
Yeah.
And they have to run into you, or, you know, they have to attack. So that's like that can definitely be powerful. And it's inkable with, and it quests for two. So it's still, like, overall, just a super solid card.
I just thought something.
What? Speak louder about it. He seems really passionate about this.
Isabella. Having Isabella give me Reckless is probably best thing you can do if Isabella's on the board.
Yeah, so Isabella is a 3/4 faces.
Because that means they can't quest before.
Oh, yeah, this is a great card for any to combat any evasive card.
Yes, yeah.
That's awesome, because they have to attack you. That's a great,
it's a good way to
get rid
of evasive. Let's look at our next one. Is Gunther Interior Design. It's a 4-cost inkable. Strength 3, willpower 3, quest for 2, special ability is Sad-Eyed Puppy. When this character is challenged and banished, each opponent chooses one of their characters and returns that card to their hand. So it's not fantastic removal, but it is some removal to get some character off the board. And
it's quest for 2, and it's inkable. It's a solid card.
Yep.
Gunther likes interior.
Pegasus!
Yeah, we got Pegasus, 5-cost inkable, Cloud Racer, strength of 3, willpower 3, shifts for 3, is evasive, quest for 2.
Gets kicked in the face by babies.
Yep, in the face by babies.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, please listen to last week's podcast.
then hop on. When you play this character, if you shift in your play him. Your other characters gain evasion until the start of your turn, next turn. So when you're doing draft or sealed event, it's hard to say whether or not you want to shift, especially if you're shifting over another evasive character, if the other player doesn't have evasives on board. Because if you really need to protect your other characters and make them all evasive, this could be a really great way. If you've got a wide board, there's not a lot of full board removal in this set.
But even without the shift, I mean, 5 isn't a ton of ink. So it's a great card. Any evasives out there, even if you don't actually shift to have like 2 evasive cards out there, you know, because Baby Pegasus is a 1-drop, right?
Yep.
So if you're at 6 ink and you happen to have both, you could just put both of them out there and not use the shift. And now you have 2 evasive cards, and that's still a great play.
Up next is a rare card that I included in here. We never talked about it, but this is a really, really good card. Mm-hmm. It's Creaky Lucky Cricket. The 5-cost inkable, strength 3, willpower 4, quests for 3. Has the special ability Spreading Good Fortune. When you play this character, your other characters get +3 strength this turn. So you're playing it pretty late at 5. You could have at least a couple of characters out there and all of a sudden buff them up to with +3.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good move. It's kind of like a full field crab effect. Mm-hmm. Plus the quest for 3.
Yeah.
This may sound funny, but there's a character named Cricket that looks exactly like the Saw in Villainous, which basically does the exact same thing, but in Villainous.
Which?
In Pete, with Pete.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. He has a card called Cricket that when you play him, all your characters get +3 attack.
Sure.
Nice.
Awesome. Okay, let's look at our next one. Over into Ruby. So I've got the pair of Hercules up here. Mm-hmm. They both have Rush. The first one is Hercules, Clumsy Kid. It's a 3-cost uninkable. Strength of 3, willpower 3, quest for 1. Just a nice thing you can throw down on turn 3 and take out something that they had the other turn that will most likely have a good chance of surviving and then be able to attack them again.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Hercules, Daring Demigod. It's a 5-cost uninkable, strength of 7, willpower 3, has Rush and Reckless, no questing. It's basically Maui if you don't follow the right instructions, right? If you don't know how to make the right card, you make Hercules instead of Maui. But Maui is still really good. This Hercules is still pretty good if you're playing on a draft and you want to find a good Rush character that'll basically take out almost anything as soon as it's played. This would be a great card to
play. Yeah, survive.
It won't survive.
No, it's pretty weak, but it can still take out some of those bigger ones.
Or a location.
Or a location, yeah. Take out one of the locations.
There's not a lot of cards in the deck that will single-handedly take out a location.
No, that's true. Especially right away.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we've got Sisu. This is probably one of the bigger cards in the game. You're going to see play for this one, whether it's in draft or constructed, I think. It's a 3-cost uninkable Sisu, Daring Visitor, so 1 strength, 1 willpower, evasive, quest for 1, and then has the special ability, Bring On the Heat. When you play this character, banish chosen opposing character with 1 strength or less. Now, that doesn't sound super impressive off the bat, but think of some of the bigger characters out there right now. So, if you're playing Emerald Rapunzel, right? All the cursed merfolk, mm-hmm. Flynn Rider, all those ones that make you discard a card when you attack it.
Lilo.
Pinocchio, yeah. All these get taken out.
Pirate Piglet, I think, too. No, he's a 2.
He's a 2.
But there's a lot.
Yep.
Arthur's a 1, isn't he? Yeah.
So it takes out a lot.
Malcolm's not happy.
This is the answer for people running Ruby against Rush decks. Is this? Yep. Sorry, Malcolm. This card kind of ruins his deck. We're gonna have to talk about what you want to play around. And it's a shiftable, it's a target for the other shiftable sea suits, right?
Right.
I see this card, I'm like, what other shiftable ones are there? I keep forgetting that the dragon.
The dragon sea suit is this sea suit.
This is a sea suit, the dragon's a sea suit. It works, so. Up next.
Can I say a word to that other card?
Sure.
Off of your head.
Off of your head.
The other ruby card that will be a bane of many existence is Brawl. It's an action, so it can't be sung. It's a 3-cost inkable. Banish chosen character with 2 strength. Right? More than half the characters in this set.
Oh, don't hit your head.
More than half the characters in this set are 2 strength or less.
Yeah.
This takes care of half of the characters in more than half the characters in the set. So if you see this, this is instant removal, you grab this one.
Yeah, and it's thinkable.
Mm-hmm. And then when you're talking about constructed, right, like this takes out a big singing Ursula. This takes out those Robin Hoods people are sitting, leaving to that quest before they ship them to a big one. So this can take out a lot.
Mm-hmm. And it's only a 3-drop.
Yeah, and it only costs for 3, so it's something that gives Ruby some removal early. So if you're playing the Ruby Amethyst deck, if you're playing a Ruby Sapphire deck, right, this all of a sudden makes the rush against those much harder.
However, all those ward characters can't be chosen with this.
Sure, so that's true.
Can't you use just the door? That's why there's two ways to leave or something up and go to the window.
He's reading the flavor text on it. Yep, there are 2 days to leave slightly ducking the door or the window. This old guy being thrown out the window, I believe. Okay. All right, let's look at our next card. We're over into Sapphire.
I'm guessing it's in a different language.
It is in a different language. It's Hades.
Why do they not have the English one?
Because they didn't have the English one out yet.
Like this morning?
Yeah. I mean, well, I could go grab someone's picture of it, but they have not updated the app with all the cards still. So, I also made this a couple days ago.
Okay. Is this French?
I believe it's Italian. It's all flavor text. There's no special abilities. It's a 4-cost inkable, strength of 3, willpower of 6, quest for 1. It's a nice big button. You can throw it on turn 4, so it's a great card to get. We will be going over what the flavor text on this says. Looking forward with the podcast, right, next week, probably talking about the stuff we opened, some of the events I went to, what we're excited about, start playing with set 4. But then soon after that, we're going to go dive back into the lore, because there is a lot of the card lore that's out there, talking about some speculation about what the next big bad is, stuff like that. We'll also hopefully have played the Lumiere's Quest to get some idea of where the story's going, so.
I think the new big bad is going to be Queen of Hearts, because we have, like, way too many Queen of Hearts cards. Same. I hope it's sad. If it's not that, I'm really going to...
No, you're not going to literally do anything.
Yeah,
that's an impact. It could be Hades, too, because there's a lot of Hades cards. Or Jafar. There's a lot of Jafar cards.
I've kind of seen Hades kind of as a hero a bit, kind of, in this. I don't know why, but it kind of, like, seems like it.
Well, I don't remember what the text on this says. The text on this gives some hints at it. But this one's in Italian. I don't remember the words, and I'm not going to try to guess.
So we'll go over it next week.
Yeah, we'll go over it later. next is Iduna. Caring Mother, a 4-cost inkable, strength 3, willpower 3, quest for 1. Special ability is Enduring Love. When this character is banished, you may put this card into your inkwell face down and exert. So, just like Grandma Tala, just comes out a bit later in the game, gives you a little bit of ramp. So
I just have a question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is a mentor... like on there, like it's like Storybone Queen.
Oh, so we might this mentor thing might come up in the future.
Well, you mean why is she a mentor?
No, I mean like why is that a thing? Like that seems like so random. Just mentor.
Eventually they'll matter, right? Like
it'll matter. Like heroes didn't matter until now.
Yeah, heroes didn't matter at all until now. Now Madrigal didn't exist until now, but it matters for that deck, right? Mm-hmm. That'll come.
Like they have a plan, I'm sure.
A mentor deck?
Well, not a deck, but maybe like. Locations, or maybe there's a future thing that you know that's a mechanic that's going to come out that we haven't even thought of yet that has something to do with it.
Because what came out in this set is the special shifting and also two together.
Yeah.
Let's look at our next one. We've got Sisu, wise friend, 6-cost inkable. This one's a dragon. Strength of 6, willpower of 6, quests for 2. Just a really big card that you'd be happy to throw down on turn 6.
Yep.
What is that in between the hero and dragon?
Deity.
Deity.
What's deity?
Deity is another word for like a god.
I thought you meant deity.
No, deity.
Yeah.
D-E-I-T-Y. Deity.
Zeus is a god?
Yes.
Zeus is a deity.
Yes.
What about Hercules?
No, because he's a demigod. So
what about Hades?
Hades is a deity, yeah. We can go back and look if you want, but
it's in Italian.
It's in Italian. It's in Italian.
Last we got Ice Block. It's an item. It's 1-cost uninkable. You tap it, and chosen character gets -1 strength this turn. Why do you think I included this in here based on the other cards we looked at?
Ice.
What? Don't raise your hand.
Why do you think
we would ice? Use this? Because what? I like ice.
Because we haven't had many Wonder Elves.
Not really. That's what I'm thinking. Think of the other cards that we talked about.
Okay.
Oh, because this is a good removal.
It's not, well, it's sort of. I mean, it gives them one less because of all of those ones that, like, got rid of cards if they had only one or two. So if you could give somebody who has three attack, only have two attack, now they can get rid of them.
Which, well, literally takes out my blue deck.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a combo, right? You gotta have this, and then you gotta have the other stuff in your hands.
And of course, but this is a common.
So let's move on to steel.
Chimpo.
A 5-cost inkable. Strength of 4. Willpower 7. He's a bodyguard. Quest
big
for 1.
Big butt bodyguard.
A big butt bodyguard you're throwing down on turn 5, so all your little guys can just quest away. So.
Oh, see, that's the thing, too. So, like, Malcolm maybe, like, I know, I think, are all the bodyguards steel, though? So I was going to say that that's...
In this set, No. There's musketeers that are bodyguards.
Because I was going to say, Malcolm, like, you could get some bodyguard musketeers, and that can help protect yours. I mean, it doesn't protect them from abilities, though.
But
just from challenges.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to talk about your deck. See where you want to go with it. That's the one I'm not sure of.
Really what about ward?
Yeah, ward or cards that give other cards ward would be helpful for your deck.
Let's look at our next one. We've got Ling. So this is a 3-cost inkable, strength of 3, willpower 3, quest for 1, special ability full of spirit. Your hero characters get +1 strength.
Was this in the hero deck?
It was, and it was a menace to play against, and a dream when I had it. So you've got a lot of heroes in your cards. If you've been grabbing heroes, and there are a lot of heroes. There's like 40-something hero characters in this set. This can really help get you
some extra lore.
Some extra strength.
Extra strength.
To kick people out. And people, it's always in effect. So even when people are attacking you, all of a sudden, like, your 2-2 now
is a
3-2. And can, like, someone runs into it, it's harder for them to survive.
Sure.
Luisa
Madrigal, Rock of the Family.
Okay.
A 3-cost inkable, strength of 2, willpower 4, quest for 1, special ability, I'm the strong one. While you have another character in play, this character gets +2 strength. You're most likely going to have another character in play most of the time in a draft type event. So she's going to be a 4-4 a lot of the time. The flavor text is there's no way Ursula's creatures are getting to that donkey.
Like, what is with the donkey?
What does Ursula want to do with a donkey? I feel like it's an answer I'm not going to get.
No, I can tell you why.
Okay, Emmett, why? She wants to dance. I really think she wants to steal his dancing ability because those donkeys can dance.
Right. Okay, so.
So just like she steals Ariel's voice, she wants to steal the donkey's dancing ability so she can sing and dance.
So that would be the plot of Little Mermaid 2.
Absolutely.
She invades.
Like Little Mermaid 4, they already made like a 2 and 3.
So Little Mermaid 4, invades Peru. And she's like, I have to invade Peru because I have to get this up. So, like, does she get the donkeys to, like, sign away their dancing abilities? And she's like, there's something wrong with my donkeys. They aren't dancing when I sing.
That's exactly it.
And everyone's like, why are you making a big deal out of this? It was freaking weird that your donkeys danced in the first place. Do you not understand? They're like, no, they're my donkeys.
Why do you sound like an Eagle Montoya?
I mean, because that's how I would sound.
Okay.
If I went to South America, that's how I'm speaking the entire time.
Speak like an Eagle Montoya.
That's... Look, I only have I have a few problems, and that's one of them.
That's one of them. Okay.
It's a 4-cost unequal. So it's a little expensive, but it deals 1 damage to each opposing character, and then you can banish a location.
Woo!
So this is kind of the only thing that's close to a little bit of a board wipe. I mean, you're not going to take out a lot, but you might do enough damage to some things to take out some stuff. And then, you know, you get that little extra bonus of taking out a location if they've got something there.
Yeah.
That takes a little bit of work to get rid of.
Because there are quite a few locations. I think 4?
I mean, altogether there are 12.
In this set? 12? Yeah. So there's quite a few locations that are out there.
There's a good chance someone's just going to play it to just play it.
Or if it's uninkable.
I mean, I had a location out during one of my games with the starter deck because I had it. And I was getting lore off of it. It was Thieves. And, you know, he couldn't really do anything to get rid of it. And I just kept racking up some lore with it. So. Mm-hmm. you know, it's something that could be really useful. That's the last one I've got to go over. So those kind of all the kind of commons and uncommons that you really can look for. Obviously, there's more that you're going to get. You just want to try to build a deck that has, you know, enough 1 drops, 2 drops, 3 drops, 4 drops, 5 drops.
8 drops.
You know, if you see removal, grab it. If you see card draw, grab it. You know?
If you see enchanted, grab it.
Well, obviously.
Okay, yeah.
If you see, obviously, if you see an enchanted or even if you see a legendary, even if you don't think you're going to play it that day, you should grab it just to have because they're so rare.
Yeah.
But anything with resist is always good. Anything, like you said, with card draw or with removal for your opponent is always something to grab. Just do be careful that you aren't pulling too many of the uninkables. Because that is something that you definitely want to keep an eye on. And also, please feel free to go back and watch our episode about drafting that we did a couple months ago, where we used the Genie acronym to help you, you know, understand like what you're looking for in general for a draft.
Yep. So,
I'm so chewy, so just to be exact.
Okay. Good for you. I don't even remember which episode this is until I look on the computer and say, oh, look, there's been this many of the other ones. So,
I think it's 14.
Either 14 or 15.
Just accomplishment, we hit 10 subscribers on YouTube.
So, guess what, Malcolm? We know what you haven't put in the gut today.
Yeah, good job.
Okay, so that brings our main topic segment. Main topic to an end. Let's move on to trivia.
It's trivia time!
From Disney's...
What?
Anyways, it's from Disney's Wonderful World of Trivia. Let's see how we do. Will they be good questions, or will they be things that no one knows? First up, in Pirates of the Caribbean, at World's End... Jen had hope. And then I said, at World's End, she's like, oh...
Seen it once.
Elizabeth, Will, and the Black Pearl crew are trying to rescue Jack from where?
The World's End.
It's not like the underworld. It's like
They kind of go upside down.
Maybe down.
Like, I don't know. They did some drugs and then they made.
It's like Davy Jones Locker.
Wow. That is the correct
good
name.
Job, though.
Wait, Locker?
Wow. Yeah.
All right.
Not What's like a
locker?
It's too long to explain right now.
Quickly explain the entire myth of Davy Jones.
Yeah.
And why they call it Locker.
And you've never even seen that movie, Malcolm.
I just knew about Davy Jones Locker and I thought, like.
Good job. All right.
He has the tone in my brain.
In what country does Beauty and the Beast take place?
France.
Good job.
Good work.
Britain.
No.
Germany.
Okay, so this one is a multi-part answer.
Okay.
It's a very simple question. Okay. Name the seven dwarfs.
Sleepy.
Happy.
Wait, Doc. Happy.
Okay. So sleep on me. Sleepy. Happy. Doc.
Dopey.
Grumpy.
Grumpy.
Original Muppet Show debut on TV. It's multiple choice.
Okay.
A, 1970. B,
1976.
C, 1980. D,
1986.
I'm going to go with C.
D.
No, B.
B.
B. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's B.
1976.
I thought it was either B or C.
I'm on a roll. Except that I said one of the Seven
All right. Next, a recreation of Carl's house from Up was built in what U.S. state?
Arizona.
A. Wyoming. B. Utah. C. Pennsylvania. D. California.
I think it was Wyoming.
B.
It
would
be.
One, one, Yes, it'd be it's Utah.
Oh, Utah?
No, the down in Utah, they decide that they build it with balloons.
I think so. No, remember with the claw? Wait, is that the one with like where they pick it up with like the claw?
I don't think so, because that's like new.
Yeah.
And this is an older cart.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I didn't get these. We just, unless that was like an older.
Yeah, it's 2022. No.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not sure when this card was, if they're talking about the same place. But obviously they made that, so I guess it's a house you get to go have a vacation in, and then if you're an adult, you just cry when you look at the pictures of him and his wife, right?
Question number five.
That was question five. That was question five.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, that's very upset that the dog made me get up and we have 1 minute left.
Yeah. So, that will bring us to an end. Good luck to all those out there opening up Ursula's Revenge product. You're right, Ursula's Return product. If you're opening up boxes, troves, starter decks, good luck to you. Hopefully you will get the legendaries you are looking for and enchanted along the way. Good luck for those playing the Illumineer's Quest. If you're taking on Ursula, best of luck to you. Remember, you're not supposed to open that special gold package until after you've beaten her.
Don't you dare open it. I mean, that's just your choice. But what if Marshall just moved it up the day she just dropped it?
Now you know who the rule followers are in our family, ones who don't really care that much about the rules.
Like, if that happens, that comes with a small baby that kicks you in the face. I will hire a small baby to kick Evan in the face if he opens up that package if we don't win. I'm just going to throw in the fire.
What's the hourly rate for that?
It's probably high.
It's probably high?
I mean, there's OSHA rules. That, like, I probably only have them work like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
So, okay, that brings us to a close. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We are Questlore. If you have been listening, you can watch a video version of this podcast on YouTube. Just search for Questlore. You'll be able to see images of all the cards we were talking about. If you are watching us on YouTube and say, yuck, I don't want to look at them, we are available on all major podcast platforms, so feel free to check us out there. Wherever you find us, please like, follow, subscribe, comment, rate, just judge us in general. We would really appreciate it. Until then, thank you so much. We have been Questlore. Enjoy your gaming.
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit for Locana, please save my deck. Also, please.